Well, government's been in the news a lot lately. There's two Senate bills on health, the health care industry. I think there's three House bills. And one of the House bills is 1,000 pages. I have not read it. 1,000 pages. I figure I could read 2 pages a minute, so it would take me 33 hours to read that thing. So I have not read it yet, but I will. Don't worry, I'll get there. So the congressmen and the senators have all gone home now for their recess, and they're holding all these town hall meetings to discuss health care. And oh my goodness, it's not town hall meetings, it's shouting left and right, people just shouting at each other. Everybody wants to give their opinion. And I want to give my opinion. So this last week, I did something I'd never done before. I wrote my congressman, and I gave him my opinion. And my congresswoman, Gabrielle Giffords, wrote a letter back to me. She said, "Dear Mr. Hook," I like that, you know, shows respect. "Thank you for contacting me about health insurance reform. I very much appreciate hearing from you on this critical matter. Our country faces many challenges, but few would disagree that our single most important domestic problem concerns America's health insurance system. We are paying too much and are often subject to unfair practices such as denying coverage based on pre-existing conditions or imposing lifetime limits on care." And I just heard from a member of our congregation this morning that went in to talk to some apothecary about some drugs, and oh my goodness, some of those drugs are expensive. And then she gives some statistics about health care in the United States, and then she says that she's holding town hall meetings, except that she is smart. She's holding tele-town hall meetings. And then she says, "I have attached a statement on insurance reform that I recently wrote for the Arizona Daily Star." Some of you may have seen that. "I hope you'll take a minute to read it." And then she said, "I'm listening to you. And then if you want regular updates, blah, blah, blah. Yours sincerely, Gabriella Giffords, Member of Congress." So really, government does have an impact in our life, doesn't it? I mean, I don't know if it matters who you are or where you are. People coming together, you're going to have government in our lives. And some of us are nervous about that. Some of us are nervous about government because anytime you have people that come together, you have differences of opinions. Unless you live in Africa, where they do everything by consensus, and sometimes, you know, these consensuses can take years, people make decisions, and you may not be happy with those decisions. And healthcare is just indicative of one of the decisions that happens in government that may be upsetting you. You may have strong feelings on one side or the other. And as a Christian, my goodness, you think about things like, well, does God like our government? I remember when I was growing up in Phoenix, on the front page of the Arizona Republic, it said, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord," Psalm 33:12. Is our nation blessed by God? Here's another one. Let's say that the people that are in authority over us, and some of them are like, are just real jerks. Should we still follow the laws even though they can't perfectly follow the law? Or does that kind of get us off the hook? Or maybe even a deeper question, and that is this. What happens when our government makes policies and decisions that are 100% against what we believe as Christians? What do we do then? Today we're going to spend some time talking about government because I know that some of you are anxious about government, and we're going to go right to Romans chapter 13. We're going to continue on where we left yesterday in Romans 13, where Paul is writing the letter to the Romans. And you remember, the Roman church is right at the seat of government in Rome. And so Paul has a few things to say about government. And I think what Paul has to say about government is very applicable for us too. So we're going to start in Romans chapter 13, beginning at verse 1, where Paul says this: "Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God." So the first thing that Paul says is that all authorities around the world, all of them are established by God. Now, I know what you're saying. You're saying, well, that kind of makes sense. I mean, if you're in England, right, you've got the Queen of England, and she's, you know, also the head of the church. So that makes sense. And, you know, United States, it was built by people who came over from England, and they're all Christians, and so our government's a Christian nation, and And look at Luther. I mean, at the time of Luther, all of the nations around there were part of the Roman Empire, which is a Christian nation. So it makes sense for those authorities. But what about other authorities? What about Hitler? What about Saddam Hussein? What about Kim Jong-il? What about some of these other authorities that exist? Are they under God's authority too? And the answer is yes, they are. You see, when Jesus Christ came to this earth, he didn't just save Christians, he saved the earth. And he didn't just come for us Christians, he wants everybody to come to a saving faith and to follow him. And God believes that authority is set there because without authority, you have anarchy. You've all remembered the story about Lord of the Flies where the kids get, you know, they're on this island and they all just, you know, they're anarchists. And religion, I mean, government is actually there because of the fall. Think about it. When mankind was sitting in the Garden of Eden, it was a perfect place. There was no need for governing. There was no need for difference of opinion because it was just man and God. But when man was kicked out of the Garden of Eden, now all of a sudden you've got all these people and then God spread them all to different nations. And now you got people warring against each other. It's not that God is evil. It's that man is evil. And so every government we have on earth is evil, has evil potentials to it. And every government is going to cause us problems. It doesn't matter if it's a democracy or an oligarchy or a monarchy or you name it. There is no form of government that's perfect because all have sinned and all have fallen short of the glory of God. But you have to understand that God is a part of every government in this earth. God gives us authorities over us, and God's somehow involved in that because God knows that it's through governing and it's through the alleviation of anarchy that he can come in, and it only takes one person. Think about this. It only takes one person who's following God's will that he can completely transform a government. Think about Joseph. Think about Daniel. Think about men who followed God and were good citizens in their government. God has authority over all governments in this earth. So that's the first point. But then Paul goes on. We continue reading in chapter 13, verse 2. Consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted. And those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but only for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and he will commend you. For he is God's servant to do you good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword for nothing. He is God's servant, an agent of wrath, to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also because of conscience. So what Paul here says is that the authorities have a power over you. They've got the power of the sword, and they can tell you what to do, and God wants you to be a good citizen and follow that power. Yesterday, I was driving to Benson, and there was one of those little yellow signs that said, photo radar ahead. Right? Now, I do not like photo radar because that means I have to slow down. So, I have two choices in this world. I can either slow down and not get a ticket, or I can go through at 90 miles an hour like I want to and get a ticket. See, life just is so much simpler if you follow the authorities. If you follow the authorities, then life is simpler for you. And that's all that the authorities have over you is the power of the sword. Think about every government here in the world. That's how they get you to serve them, is through the power of the sword. They make laws, and you have to follow the laws, and if you don't follow the laws, then you're out. And what Paul is saying is, listen, in your governmental structure, whoever your authority is, just be a good citizen. It'll make your life so much better. For those of you who have gone through confirmation, you'll remember the fourth commandment is this: honor your father and your mother. Why? So it'll go well with you all your days. And if you are a good citizen, you are so much more of an impactful person in the kingdom of God because you are a good citizen on this earth. But how much different is that system of government than the system of government of Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God? You see, in the earth, in the world, it's laws, and you got to follow the laws, and if you don't, you get the sword. But in the kingdom of God, it's totally different, isn't it? In the kingdom of God, Jesus Christ came down and bought and purchased every single one of your lives. You no longer have the threat of the sword, of God's sword, pointed against you anymore. Everything that you do now is not because you fear the sword, but because you love God. And it's an outpouring of love for God. What an incredible way to live in that kingdom. Third point, and this is probably the most important point of all, because it comes down to money. Everything always comes down to money. Verse 6, this is also why you pay taxes. For the authorities are God's servant who give their full time to governing. Give everyone what you owe him. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, honor. I think this is probably the hardest thing for Christians, especially when they live in a nation where the rulers over them are maybe making decisions that are totally against what you believe as a Christian. And you say, what should I do? What in the world should I do? But think about this. Paul knew what he was talking about. When Paul wrote to the church in Rome, they were being taxed by Romans, and that money, that tax, was going back to Rome, and part of that money was for the upkeep of the Roman temples and the Roman gods. And this really, really upset the Jews to no end. Because the Jews felt that they serve God and God alone and not Caesar. And the taxes, well, I mean, that's just a necessary form of government. But the fact that some of that taxes went over to Rome to support another religion, another God, that just really irked them. And so one day they came to Jesus and they said, we're going to trick Jesus on this one. So they came to Jesus and said, Jesus, who should we honor? Should we honor God or should we honor Rome? When puss gets to shove, who should it be? And Jesus knew that he was trying to trick him, but Jesus was also pointing out a very, very important theology for us today. And that is this. There's two kingdoms. Jesus said there's kind of like two realms that we live in. We kind of live in the realm of citizenship, in the laws that exist. And in that law, in that citizenship, God is calling you to be a good citizen. So that means paying taxes. If your citizenship is telling you to pay taxes, then pay taxes. But then Jesus said, but pay God what you owe God. Render to Caesar what is Caesar's, but render to God what is God. And in the world of government and the world of citizenship, you are evaluated by how well you follow that citizenship. But in the realm of God, you are only evaluated by the blood of Jesus Christ and your faith. And that is it. Think about that. It's an incredible thing, which means that it is okay as a Christian to be a good citizen. And here in the United States, of course, we have two hats. We are citizens, but we're also a citizenship of the people. So we should be informed. We should be voting. We should do all those Christian duties. But ultimately, when the vote comes down, we should follow the government. We should follow those in authority over us. We should not make it difficult for them, but make it easy for them. As I looked through the scriptures, I could only think of a couple times where people really had to make a choice between government and God. And that was when that government said, you must deny your God and you must bow down to a foreign God. And in those instances, in every case, those people bowed down to only their own God. And you'll remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel, and all those people. And God came and rescued them. But that's the only time. Other than that, God wants you to be a good citizen. You live in two kingdoms. And the kingdom of this earth, you are judged by how well you are a good citizen. And being a good citizen as a Christian means that people will respect you, and the word of God can flourish because there is structure and order in the world. But in the kingdom of heaven, your worth is purely dependent upon Jesus Christ and the work that he did. When he came down into this earth and was a perfect citizen for God and won the perfect citizen of the year medal and got keys to the eternal city, and then he took both those off and he bestowed them on you. And while there is no perfect government in this world, there is a perfect government that is waiting for you and me someday when we claim our right as citizens in the eternal kingdom and live with Jesus forever. In his name, amen.